All right, let's stand together this morning. Thank you for being here. Matthew chapter 7, we'll just read a few verses this morning. Let me get this on. Matthew chapter 7, by the way, a little more on the monitor here. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers. By the way, we're not talking specifically to the fathers this morning, but let me say this. Fathers should not just be a title, okay? It ought to be what you are, and I encourage you to be a good father and spend time with your children. Don't just leave that to mom, okay? Mothers are great. I grew up in a single family home. My dad and my mom split when I was about 5, and I had a lot more freedom than I probably should have, but my mom tried to go overboard, and she was great, but if you're in that situation, that's fine. You can work through that, but let's make sure as fathers we're doing our job as fathers, and enjoy this day, and enjoy your children all the time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, we'll read five verses. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended his sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we thank you again for loving us. We thank you for your salvation. And Father, I pray as we're here this morning that you would encourage us through your word. As we look at this story, Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts about how are we building our lives. And how should we build our lives? Help us to make any corrections that you would deem necessary in our lives, that you would point out to us as we think about these verses. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus here is using this parable, I believe, to teach us the different results in life that come about based on how we respond to his words. In the story here, we see two men who built a house. If you looked at the houses on the outside, they probably look the same. Both of the men here, they probably wanted to accomplish the same thing, maybe to have a place to live their lives, to have a place that was for their family and a best to a place of shelter, a place that they could raise their children, a place that they could live their lives. Both of these men did that. Despite their efforts, a day of testing for their dwellings came. When that testing came, one of the houses endured and the other was destroyed. In essence here, it's almost a little bit of a smaller version of the spiritual version of the three pigs. Okay, the way they built their houses. And the big bad wolf came. And on two of the houses, he was ready to have bacon. By the way, bacon makes everything taste better. Have you noticed that? Except for tofu. There is nothing you can do for tofu. But man, if you want to make something better, you wrap that thing in bacon. I went somewhere with Rawls and a couple other families, and they had steak with bacon in it. I'm like, I'm in on that thing, and that was good. Let's hurry. I'm hungry. Talk about pigs, we go straight to bacon. Anyhow. Now, what happened? What happened that caused these houses to be different? The answer wasn't in what they were doing, okay? The answer is in building their houses. The answer is in how they went about doing it. The same is true of us today as we live our lives. If we think about it, if we're honest, and I believe that this would be true of everybody in this room, we would all say that we want what is best for our lives. Because after all, we only get one shot in this life. So we would all think, man, I want what is best in this life. We would all say we would want what is best for our families. After all, these are the people we would love the most. We might even say that we want what is best in our relationship with God. At least I hope you would say that, considering especially all that he has done for us today. The situation of these two men, there's two different houses and how they built their houses. It's not just true of them and what we're going to look at today. It's true of us and how we are building our lives. How are you building your life today? Because it's important. As we look at these stories, we're going to look at a couple things here. These men had some things that they did that was in common. And then they had some differences. And so this morning, we're going to look at both of those elements. First of all, as we look through these verses, I would want you to notice what did they have in common? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that they had the word in common. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. And a few verses later, he says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. They both had the same word. You're here this morning, and I would assume, now maybe not all of you, that you're Christians, or you have some kind of small desire for God, or you probably would not be here today. All of us have the same Bible. God has left his word for us today. His word is an instruction manual for life. Have you ever noticed that instruction manuals come with the dumbest little things? Pencil sharpener. Some little thing. It's like I don't need an instruction manual for that. It's pretty point blank. But they're trying to cover themselves from being sued. So every little thing comes with an instruction manual. But have you ever noticed the most important things in life don't come with an instruction manual? We've had 7 children. Every single one of them was born. Not one of them came out with an instruction manual tied to their foot. Okay. Now that would have been a blessing in the early days, especially with that first one. They wake up crying at 3 in the morning. How do you put them to sleep? Well, there are ways you could put them to sleep, but you don't want to do that. By the way, Dimetapp is good. Just knocks them right out. But you know, they don't come with marriage. You get married and I've done a few weddings, and you have to fill out the papers there, and they give you a couple little papers in there, but there's no instruction manual in there on how to make marriage work. Okay? Oh, you know, it's a honeymoon period. I know, the honeymoon ends. Okay? If you're not careful, it's the opposite of a honeymoon. Sour sun, because things get hot. Relationships don't come with an instruction manual. Hey, I have good news for you today. It actually did. The Word of God is God's instruction manual for us. He talks about all those important things in life. I mean, if you get an instruction manual, how to put a little $5 pencil sharpener together. We need an instruction manual for marriage. We need an instruction manual for children. We need an instruction manual for relationships. God has given us his instruction manual. He's given us everything that we need. Psalm 119, verse 105 said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is there for us to help us as we go down this path of life to be able to live spiritually successfully. We all have the same word. By the way, since it is Father's Day, you know what is bad about fathers? What's know what's bad about men in general, and it's me too? I don't like instruction manuals. Come on, how many of you men are like, instruction manuals are for sissies? Okay? You know who we are? We are the guys that have to ask our wives to go return that thing because we messed it up. Is that right? I remember when I worked in college, I was a maintenance mechanic, and we'd have the mechanics come over when the brakes would go out on these things, and they'd break, and I'd have the maintenance the mechanic come over, and I'm like, man, this is dumb. I can do this. And so the machine broke down. I thought, I'm going to do it. I don't need his help. And so I got the piece out. I'd seen a guy do it 50 times, and I put it on, and I had extra parts. And the brake didn't work. And it was pretty embarrassing. I went over to the guy and said, hey, machine number 4, the brake's out. Can you come replace it? And he comes over there, he opens it up, and he's like, you tried to do this yourself, didn't you? I'm like, no, it was a lady running a machine. She did it. Okay. We want to do things ourselves. Can I just tell you something? That's a flaw. We need God's help. But these men that were building these houses, they had the same word. They also both heard it. It says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and everyone that heareth. It's amazing to me how people can come, people can read the same Bible, and people can come to the same church, and yet go out and have drastically different things happening in their life. But they both heard it. I want you to notice that both of these men built. Both of them built a house. They were trying to do something that was right. The problem wasn't with their desire. The problem isn't with what they were trying to do. They were trying to build the right thing. And I will also have you notice what they had in common. They both built a house. They both completed it. They got it done. They built it up. They both could step back and look and say, the house is built. But what is going to play out later on that happens to the house is not good. Realize this. The completing the house did not make them good builders. We're going to see that in a minute. Having the right desires and wanting to do something doesn't make us good at it. Just because we got married does not automatically make us a good spouse. We have to work at it. Having children doesn't automatically make you a good parent. It just means you have children. If you got married, it just means that you have a spouse. Having a job doesn't make you a profitable employee. Being saved doesn't automatically make you a good Christian. Working harder doesn't automatically mean the results are getting better. It's not about what we're doing, as we're going to see. It's about how we do it. Most of us work hard, but yet we're not working correctly. The verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10 says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. It's like trying, he's talking here about having like an axe and trying to chop down a tree. If the axe isn't sharp, you got to put a lot more effort in, and it's probably not going to go anywhere. But if you take a few minutes and get a little bit of wisdom and learn how to sharpen the blade, the tree's going to come down a lot easier. It's not just about the effort. It's about what type of effort we're putting in. And I want to notice here the last thing that they had in common. It was the storm. In both instances, after the house was built, a storm came. Something that was going to test what they had built. And let me just say this to you. Storms are coming in your life. There's going to be situations in life. You get married and you say, man, this is going to be the greatest marriage in the world. She's the most wonderful lady in the world, and I'm so glad I married her. And then something happens. After marriage, you move in together. And everything changes. It's like, well, wait. Well, why? Well, when you were dating her, she was wonderful, and then you guys broke up, and she went home, and you went home. Guess once you get married, that doesn't happen anymore. You're both going to the same place. And if you're not careful, it's not going to get better. It can get worse. You have children. Oh, look at little Phoebe. She is so beautiful. Little Phoebe's going to grow up, okay? And when they're little, it's easy to tell them, don't do that. Why? I said so. That works. When they get into their teenage years, it's a little more difficult. You have to teach them why. And so you need the storm is going to come. What does the storm do? The storm reveals the strength of the structure. I've mentioned it before, but Joe Frazier, the boxer, said one time about his training. He says, you know what? When I have a fight, I don't always have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and run my 5 or 10 miles. He goes, I don't have to do that. He goes, in fact, if I don't do it, nobody will know. He goes, if I fudge on my diet and I don't eat the things I'm supposed to do, no one's going to know that I snuck off and had this or that. He goes, no one's going to know. He goes, but when I step into that ring for that fight, and the bright lights are on me, and that fight begins, everything I've been doing leading up to that fight is going to be revealed for everybody to see. And that's what happens when a storm comes. Storms don't destroy us. They just reveal if we were ever strong enough to handle them in the first place. And a storm is coming. Now, what was different about these men? And this is where we want to focus our last few minutes. This is where the rubber hits the road. The differences are going to reveal the strength and the weaknesses and the structures. And how they built it is the big difference. What are their differences? First of all, I would say this. They were different, and this is really the whole key, in their obedience. They both heard the word. They both had the word. But the Bible tells us that one of them doeth them, and the other one doeth them not. That's it right there. We all have the same Bible, but those that say, you know, I'll kind of pick and choose what I want to do from the scripture. You know, hey, that was a good message this morning. You told a couple jokes, it's kind of funny, but you didn't get the point that was being made. That's where the difference is. Listening and not listening. Obedience. That's the foundational difference. Don't think we're okay just because we come to church. Don't think that we're okay because we open up and we crack our Bibles and we read them. In this book here that we passed out, there's a little section here where you can you kind of write down if you do your daily devotions. Let's take a look here. June 22nd today, you have the scripture there. You know, you write the scriptures down and you write down. Listen, it's about not just reading the scriptures. What is God speaking to me about? What is God saying to me? If God says something to us, he's saying it because he wants us to put it into practice in our lives. It's very dangerous when we hear God's word and we don't listen. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1 says this, "He that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." He's talking about someone who hears something from God's word and it goes against the way they're living their life. And by the way, that's true of all of us. We're always, if we're in the Bible, we're going to hear things from the Bible. It's like, whoa, that's not what I did the other day. Or whoa, that's an area of my life I need to fix. How many of you, is there anybody in this room that could stand up and say, I am perfect? Good. And if you did, we'd ask your spouse. None of us are perfect. And so as long as we are flawed, there's always going to be something in the Bible that says, hey, you need to work on this. Hey, you need. Why'd you do that? What's going on here? And if we get in the habit of saying no, Proverbs is telling us there's going to come a day of destruction. That's these two men. One listened to the words of Scripture. He listened to what Jesus had to say, and he put it into practice, and the other just heard it and didn't do anything with it. Thought, it's optional. I don't have to do this. I can build my house my own way. Proverbs talks about that. 14 and 12 says, 14 verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." We're not smart enough to know what is best. God knows what is best. And if we trust him, we're going to build a house that lasts. But if not, we might have a structure that looks good, but as I reminded you, the storm is coming. And how we built will be revealed. So the difference was in their obedience. We are, in our society, we follow, there is so much, we live in the information age, and there is so much information out there anymore. I mean, you can read blogs, and you can get on the internet, and you can read this book, and you can read that book, and there's so, you know, Dr. Phil, you know, he's people's pastor, believe it or not. Oprah Winfrey, she's not going to be my pastor. Yeah. Oh, but you know, they talk so nice. How do you feel? I don't care how you feel. What's right? We listen to the wrong words sometimes. But it sounds so intelligent. But is it right? Well, how do I know whether it's right or wrong? That's a legitimate question, right? Scripture's right.
There you go. Amen.
So we mix everything up against Scripture, and if it doesn't match up, we get rid of that which doesn't match up with Scripture.
Amen.
Proverbs 19 says this, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." Did you get that? If someone's trying to teach us something that would go against the Scripture, Bible says don't hear that. Remember when I was in Bible college, I had a Bible teacher, and he recommended a book, and this guy's book was not doctrinally sound. In fact, it was heretical. Now, it was something about church growth, but this guy had some bad doctrine, and I shouldn't have done it. I'm not someone to try to stir up trouble, you know what I'm saying? But I thought, I'm going to ask him a question. I said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Myers." I said, "You know, I believe he has some doctrinal. Should we read that book? Because after all, Proverbs tells us, you know, cease, my son, to hear words that would cause thee to error." And I didn't, and he looked at me for a minute. He goes, "I don't know. What do you think? I don't want to read something that's going to cause me to err." You know, look, I call it the lunchroom syndrome. You know, when I worked at the warehouse and we would sit in there, here's this guy talking to this guy and he's ripping the hell, "Yeah, my wife is such a this, that, and the other." And the guy goes, "Well, let me tell you what I do to my wife." And I'm like, "That's his fourth wife." And he's giving counsel to this guy? I'm like, that's a bad idea.
Yep.
So it's obedience. One obeyed, the other didn't. Here's another difference in their description. Wise versus foolish. One man was wise. Why? He built his house on the rock because he was listening to God's word. He was wise. The other one built his house on the sand because he wasn't wise. Now, when we think of wisdom in our society now, and this is another God that needs to be kicked every now and then, education. Okay? Now, I'm not against, I'm all for learning. Okay? It's nice to be able to read. It's nice to be able to write. It's nice to understand things. Not against education. I'm against the wrong kind of education, and I'm against us placing our faith in the wrong kind of education. We think someone's wise because they have a high IQ. That is not wisdom. Wisdom in the Bible is the ability to hear God's word and put it into practice in our life. That is wisdom. What makes us wise is the fact that we understand we are not that smart, and no matter how high our IQ is, if we're going to have the marriage we're supposed to have, we need God's instruction on it. It doesn't matter how smart we are. If we're going to have the right kind of family, we need God's word on it. If I'm going to be the right kind of employee, I might want to find out what God says about being an employee. That's wisdom. See, we have to be the big shot. I don't need anybody's help because I'm smart. The smart person is the person that knows they don't have all the answers and they're going to go to the book and get the answers. We all need the answers. That's wisdom. What is foolish? A fool in the Bible is someone who ignores or defies God's principle. That's what the foolish guy did. He had the same Bible as the wise man. He heard the same words and he said, "I'm not going to listen. I'm going to ignore them. I'm going to defy them. I'm not going to follow the instruction manual." And bad results are going to happen. When Brother Panay was a teenager, he lived at our house. And that was good. I'm not mowing the lawn anymore. Brother Panay was going to mow it. So for Christmas, I got him, I don't know if it was you and Stephen was a little boy, we got one of those basketball hoops for the front yard, one of the ones that you roll it. And it was a Sunday afternoon. I'm like, "Hey, it's time to put that thing together." I'm like, "You're a teenager. You're living at my house. You put it together." So he's like, I'll go do it. I'm like, "Good. I'll stay in here and watch football. You go put it together." We had air conditioning. It was hot out. "You go outside and do that." So he goes outside, and a little while later, he goes, "Brother, I need some help." You know, they had the big plastic foundation, and then they had these two big poles you had to put together. So he takes the first pole, and he puts the two poles together. And then he realized something, because he didn't read the instruction manual. He goes, "That's the wrong way." He said, can you help me pull them apart?" I'm like, "Sure, yeah, you made a mistake." I don't know how long we were out there, but that was like, what, 15 years ago? They're probably still together. We could not get them apart. We had to take that thing back to Costco. Like, I'm sorry, they were kind. He didn't follow the instruction manual. Why? He's foolish. Bad results. That's what happens when we don't follow the instruction. God says you're either going to be wise, you're going to listen to my word, and you're going to try to apply it to your life in every area, or you're going to be like the foolish man. You're going to ignore what I say. Foolish. Their choices were wrong. Rock versus sand. They chose the wrong foundations. And they paid the ultimate price. What a shame to spend all your time building something and then to realize you built it on the wrong foundation. Don't wait until it's too late. You say, but things seem to be going okay right now. I mean, I have the right desires. I want the right kind of marriage. I want to be the right kind of person. But you're not following God. It's going to come to roost someday. Why are you going to wait? To put all that effort in and to realize you're building it on sand. To spend all that time, all that effort, and all that energy. And it's like, oops. Now look, when we were out here, when we first started digging the foundation out, we were digging it ourselves. Pastor got the staff together, because you guys, you know, the footings. It's like, all right, all you staff, you have 5 footings you got to dig, which would have been nice if the dirt wasn't rock hard. And we built a lot of footings, and then we came back later and said, oops, those 5 footings we didn't need after all. And we need 5 others in places where you didn't dig the holes. We're like, thanks, Brother Ratana. That was a blessing. Now, all we wasted at that time was just some hours and a lot of energy and a lot of effort. But you know what? It's just a hole in the ground. What's the big deal? We can fill holes in. We can dig a couple that we didn't dig. That's not a big deal. But we're talking about your life here. We're talking about your family. We're talking about your Christianity. That's not something we want to get wrong. That's something we want to nail the first time. Don't build on the wrong foundation. The last thing is this. What was different? The results. The results. One stood strong, and the other fell flat. Now, I'm not questioning anybody's desire in the room today. I don't think you'd be at church. You're wasting your time if you didn't have some desire. I don't think anybody goes into a marriage saying, man, I hope this thing falls apart. I hope this thing is horrible. No one has children hoping, man, I hope my kid turns into the next Charles Manson. No one's like that. No one wants to be miserable. But if we don't build correctly, it's coming. What's my admonition to you today? Hear what God says and do what God says. That's it. Don't be like James says. He says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. You see, we like to pacify ourselves. Well, I feel better today because I came to church. That doesn't help anybody. Well, I feel better today because I actually looked in my Bible. That doesn't help anybody. You know what helps you? To say, God, how do I get through this life? How can I actually look back at the end of my life with joy? Follow the instructions. Don't build your life on something that's meaningless. How are you building your life today? Are you doing your own thing? By the way, we live now in a Christianity where we kind of just want enough Jesus where we can pacify our conscience and go out and live any way we want and put a little Christian stamp of approval on it. Boom. Can I just tell you something? You can do that. You can do it. There are even churches that'll make you feel good about that. But what are you going to do when the storm comes? while you built is going to be revealed. Follow God's word. Let's be the wise men. Let's say, Lord, I'm not perfect. I'm not some super Christian, but I need your help. And I need you to show me what I need to do. And Lord, if you show me something, I'll do it. I'll do it. That's the wise man. And that's the house that will not fall down. Let's all stand together. Thank you for listening. Every head bowed, every eyes closed this morning.